Well, it's a busy time for flower growers all over the country because spring has definitely sprung and there's a lot of flowers around. Darren McCullough, who you'll know from Ear to the Ground, is also a flower farmer and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Dara?
Afternoon, Ray.
I hope you're there surrounded by daffodils, are you? Up to your knees in daffodils.
Surrounded, swimming in the Ray. I'm actually in the house at the moment, but looking out the window at snowdrops. And, you know, people think when I tell them that I farm daffodils, they kind of have this image in their heads of me, you know, flouncing through fields full of golden daffodils. But, of course, we pick them when they're still in a tight bud to maximise the vase life. So people are kind of sorely disappointed when they see the actual pictures.
So it's not Wordsworth at all. Your life isn't sort of a Wordsworth poem.
Not quite. Not quite poetry emotion, no.
Because I was thinking that, because let's jump on very quickly to Amsterdam, which is the centre, the hub of flower selling. Is it just for Europe or for the world?
Yeah, Amsterdam, 90% of the world's flowers are traded through the Dutch and mainly through Amsterdam. And it's been like that for decades, if not centuries. Even today, like, I grow about 80 acres of daffodils, which is quite a bit of daffodils. Now, it doesn't make me the biggest daffodil farmer in Ireland or anything like that. There's about five serious commercial daffodil growers in the country. And we're all a kind of similar size.
Give us numbers on that, Dara, then. So how many daffodils would you be picking a day right now?
You're looking for the daffodilmatics, are you?
Yeah,
we pick, believe it or not, about 200,000 to maybe 250,000 stems a day. And they all have to be picked by hand, believe it or not, because there's no machine that will pick the stem and not cut off the leaf. And of course, we want to keep the leaf on the bulb because the leaf is the solar panel for the bulb. It's the one that creates all the energy and channels it down into the bulb. And we leave the bulb in the ground for a couple of years so that we can pick a flower from it in a couple of consecutive years. So I literally have about 25 people out in the field every day. I mean, today is gorgeous, but I can tell you some of the weather over the last week was horrendous and we were still out picking daffodils. Yeah. But we send them, you know, when you're picking 250,000 flowers a day, you know, you sell as much as you can in Ireland, but we also export to the flower auctions in Holland. So I had a pallet of flowers auctioned there yesterday. And it's not that I'm, you know, on the other end of a phone at 5 a.m. when the auction is happening. This all happens when I'm getting my beauty sleep in bed.
Right.
And I just get up and look at an app on my phone in the morning and see what price my flowers made. So, and that's the way they trade internationally. And the flowers come from Colombia and Ecuador and Kenya and Italy and Holland and all over the place. And they all go through the Dutch auctions.
Okay, and is an Irish daffodil a sought-after thing?
Well, it is at the moment. This year has been a great year to be a flower grower, whisper it. But a couple of planets have aligned themselves for us. Normally, a daffodil that I would sell wholesale at auction might be maybe 3 cent, maybe 3.5 cent a stem, which is not a lot, but this year they're making up on 6 and 7 cents a stem. Wow. What's driving that? Well, flower sales through supermarkets have gone through the roof, and most people buy their daffodils through supermarkets. So the demand is really high. There's a lot of a shortage of flowers out there as well, because it's one way that people have of reaching out to others at the moment and telling them that they love them or they're thinking of them or that they care for them. So, you know, online flower sales, flower deliveries, all that business is really booming.
Blooming. Hey,
sorry.
So I take it then that you have to, which you said at the start, you have to pick them really before they're in flower so you can transport them to Amsterdam to be sold on. So you have to time it perfectly. Is that it?
Yeah, it's fairly pressurized kind of a gig. I mean, I have the easy end of it. I yabber on phones all day long to buyers and sellers and try and organize stuff. But, you know, the pickers themselves out in the field, I mean, this is one of the things that really bugs me when people talk about unskilled labor in farming or in horticulture. I mean, yeah, the people out in the fields picking the flowers may not have PhDs, but they have a brilliant eye. I've got some videos up on Twitter and our Facebook and Instagram pages. And to see how fast they can judge a flower and pick it to the exact length that I need, and judge it in terms of quality in the blink of an eye, and be able to pick maybe 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 stems a day.
Right.
It's tough work. I consider them like athletes, to be honest with you.
Now, thanks so much for sending me flowers. I didn't know you cared, Darren McCullough, but thank you so much.
Well, we all care, Ray. You know that.
And there's tulips in there. Are they grown in Ireland, or where are those tulips?
Yeah, so we're doing a what we call a springtime charity bouquet at the moment in conjunction with Irish Cancer Society, and it's flying it. And all the flowers in the box are 100% Irish grown, and which is kind of unusual because, you know, 90%+ of the flowers sold in Ireland are imported, because it's very difficult to produce flowers in Ireland, especially at this time of the year. But we're lucky. Obviously, we've, you know, a pretty good supply of daffodils. But up the road from me is a brilliant tulip grower. They're the Rurochs. They've been growing flowers for generations. They're Dutch originally, but nationalised, I suppose, at this stage. And they have just a fascinating process up there where they have tulip bulbs, crates and crates and stacks of tulip bulbs in fridges. And they sprout these bulbs in the fridges in water. So it's all hydroponically grown.
Right.
And then when they know that the moment they take those trays out of the fridge and put them into a glass house, 3 weeks later, they'll have a tulip to pick. So like you said, it's a very precise process. They're supplying maybe tens of thousands of tulips every day to Irish supermarkets and flower suppliers like myself. And they need to be able to program this, that they have enough flowers day in, day out, for the demands out there. And of course, incorporating also the peaks like Valentine's Day. I mean, we went bananas last week, and, you know, people on the farm here are working until 12 o'clock at night trying to process orders because Valentine's gifts on the 15th weren't very popular. So there was a bit of pressure involved.
Yeah.
And so, then you have another peak in 4 weeks' time with Mother's Day.
Right. And of course, seasonal then. So what's seasonal for you for Mother's Day, for example?
Yeah, so for Mother's Day, at the moment, it's mainly tulips and daffodils that we've got coming. On the farm here, we'll be picking, hopefully, the first of our alliums, and then freesias and a few irises. And we've got things like camassia coming on, and they'll be all coming on the tunnels over the coming weeks. And they're all classic springtime flowers.
Okay.
Great for the pollinators as well. I should say that, you know, people love flowers, and, you know, now during COVID, flowers are playing a really important role actually in keeping spirits up in people's lives and in their back gardens, and people are all mad into the gardening. But it's also brilliant for nature, for biodiversity. So, you know, a lot of these flowers, the snowdrops that I mentioned earlier, they're some of the first sources of pollen for our pollinators out there. So really important that we all have flowers in our garden. So you're asking me, what are we going to be picking then? We're going to have those alliums coming out of the tunnels. What will be coming out of the fields after that then? We're talking about peonies when we go into kind of April, May, and then we're
what's
followed
a peony?
By
what's a
peony roses. Oh my God, Ray.
Sorry.
Yes, you need to talk to the women in your life, obviously. You know, people go crazy over peony roses. They are fragrant, which is quite unusual again in flowers. And this is, again, you kind of get into the anoraki stuff of flowers here with me. But the most flowers, because they're shipped all around the world, they're bred and grown for vase life. In other words, that they can withstand
the
vagaries.
Not for scent.
Yeah.
Right,
so they lose all that fragrance.
So you sacrifice the fragrance for the vase life.
Big time.
Right.
Big time.
Interesting.
And
didn't know that.
Some of the peonies that we grow just have gorgeous scents. And so, again, that's a real sign of kind of maybe the first flush of summer. And they come in these gorgeous pinks and really popular with brides and that.
Now, for most of us, Darren McCullough, we look out, like we have a few crocuses out the back and a few daffodils and some snowdrops. And they really brighten up my day and they bring joy to our lives. You have these fields and fields of various flowers. You must be like joyous on steroids, so to speak, with all the joy from flowers in your life. Or is it just a job for you?
Yeah, I have my moments, you know. Look, it's actually quite a gratifying business to be involved in. I mean, I run a mixed farm here. We grow cereals. I'm involved with my neighbour in a dairy partnership. We have turkeys. We have Christmas trees. So we grow lots of different things, like a lot of Irish farms, you know, mixed enterprise. But, you know, you produce, you know, 100 ton of grain from your field. You don't have people ringing you up and going, oh, my God, your grain is so wonderful and it's so gorgeous and thanks so much for producing it. Whereas with flowers, we get a lot of love and affection for them. Now, occasionally we get people who are not so happy with our flowers, and that happens. But it's a nice business to be involved in. I mean, there's a bit of pressure.
Finally,
you know, about 12 months ago, I first started doing online flowers, and I thought, you know, you could just shove flowers in a box and send them off to whoever orders them and they'd be happy. But then I realized, oh, no, Dara, you need to include a message. It's all about the message, the love, the thoughts and all the rest of it. So there's a bit of pressure involved with the flower business. And
as you said to me, talk to the women in your life, Dara. No, just a quick question from Frank before I leave you, because we've to get to Joan. Yeah. What's the earliest date of daffodil flowers? Is there a record?
We have about 20 different varieties of daffodils, which sounds like a lot. There's actually thousands out there, but our earliest daffodils would start coming in the first week in January.
There you go.
So we have them, they're specifically bred to do that. So we actually have a daffodil supply from the first week in January right up and beyond Easter.
Okay, Dara McCullough, we're going to be in your fields of daffodils next year to do an OB. When all this is over, I can't think of a nicer place to do an outside broadcast just to herald the arrival
Fantastic.
Of spring in 2022. Thanks, Dara. Mind yourself. See you. Bye. Bye.
You're
bye,
welcome.
Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.